Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2 to start with. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And I trust and pray that as we open the scriptures this morning, that you will speak to our hearts. Help us to understand the lesson and help us to make some practical application of it to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've given this message this morning, as you probably have seen in your bulletin, the title, "An Old Testament Picture of the New Testament Christ." And I've called it that for a purpose. You see, when you look at the similarities between Abraham and his son, and God and his son, the similarities show us a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. The similarities between the sacrifice of God's son and Abraham's son are very similar. And we see all this as we examine Genesis chapter 22. But the beginning of this chapter is kind of shocking to a lot of people. They ask, why would God tell Abraham to sacrifice his own son as a human sacrifice? And there are at least three reasons. One, God wanted to show that human sacrifice is wrong. When God, as we'll see as we read through the chapter, when God stopped Abraham's knife in midair from sacrificing Isaac, God demonstrated and showed man forever that human sacrifice is wrong. And then secondly, God declares that human sacrifice is not the way to approach God. Now, the heathen of Abraham's day that practiced human sacrifice believed it was the way that they could show God that they loved him supremely. But a human sacrifice is unacceptable to God because God is perfect, and God can only accept a sacrifice that's perfect. A human sacrifice is no better than the human being that's being sacrificed. And that's why on the cross of Calvary, only the sinless Son of God was worthy to be offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. It was because he was perfect. And then third, God wanted to show that he tests people. He tests them to show the world that some people really do fear God. And by fear, we mean reverence and love and awe and true worship. All that true religion is. And this is the subject of this great passage. The subject is Abraham's great love for the God he served. And this morning, very quickly, I want to point out to you five things in this passage. First of all, the proposal. The proposal. And that's what we saw in verses 1 and 2. Look at them again. "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." Now, some folks use this passage of scripture to claim that the Bible contradicts itself. What they do is they turn over to James chapter 1 and verse 13, where it says this: "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." And so they take that verse where it says, "Neither tempteth he any man," and then they turn to Genesis 22 where it says, "God did tempt Abraham," and they said, "See, The Bible has a contradiction in it. No, what they're showing is not a contradiction in the Bible. What they're showing is their ignorance and lack of study is what they're showing. They fail to understand that there are two different words that are translated tempt in the Bible. Two different meanings, two different uses of the word tempt. In the passage in James, where it's talking about God not tempting someone, it's talking about enticing them to evil, you know, luring them to do sin, that kind of tempt. But that's not the word, the way the word tempt is used in Genesis chapter 22. Here, the word tempt means test. Test. And this call to sacrifice Isaac was a test. A test. And why did God test Abraham? Well, some think it was because God wanted to see if Abraham really loved him. But I'm not so sure that's the correct idea. Because God already knows if you love him. The question should not be, does God know whether or not we love him? The question should be, do you know if you love God or not? God knows whether or not we love him. God's omniscient. God knows everything. And so if God is not calling Abraham to sacrifice Isaac in order to test whether or not Abraham really loved him, then why is he calling him to do that? Well, God tested Abraham to help Abraham see if he really loved God the way that he should. God already knew, but God wanted Abraham to be sure of this. And by the way, this is something that Abraham was kind of used to in his life, right? He'd been tested a number of times before. For example, he was tested when he was called to leave all of his relatives in Ur of the Chaldees and leave and go to a land that he knew nothing about. Matter of fact, he was called to leave not even knowing where he was going. God said, you just go and I'll lead. That was a test. And Abraham passed that test. He left and he followed God. Then there was the test that came with Lot, his nephew Lot. Abraham loved Lot. If he hadn't loved him, he wouldn't have taken him with him on this trip. But there came a time when they had to separate. And Lot, he went down to that wicked place called Sodom. But Abraham did not. Abraham did not go towards that wicked city. And so again, Abraham passed the test. And then there was the test with that boy of his by Hagar, the handmaid of Sarah, that little boy named Ishmael. Now, he loved that boy, and he hated to be separated from him, but God said it was necessary because Ishmael was not the promised son, not the promised son. And so, although it broke Abraham's heart to separate from him, Abraham obeyed God and made that separation. And God assured him that he would take care of Ishmael. So Abraham made the separation and Abraham passed the test. And then, of course, now Abraham comes at this point to the supreme test, the fourth great crisis of his life, where he is asked to give up this promised son that he loved. This son, Isaac. And getting back to our original question, why would God demand such a thing from Abraham? Well, you got to remember that Abraham was well aware that many of the religions around him taught that human sacrifice is a supreme act of worship. A worshiper that offered his own flesh and blood was thought to be offering the supreme sacrifice. He was proving that he loved the God that he served. And so when God told Abraham to do this, it was not something he had never heard of before. During this time when human sacrifice was being practiced, Abraham knew exactly what God was saying to him. That is, he must be willing to make the supreme sacrifice to the God he loved and served. Now, how old was Isaac in this passage? This is interesting because in Genesis chapter 23, we find that Sarah was 90 years old when Isaac was born, and she was 127 when she died, according to Genesis 23:1. Now, why am I mentioning that? It's because all of the Sunday school literature that I've ever seen pictures Isaac as a 12 or 13-year-old boy. But according to the Genesis timeline, he was actually approximately between 30 and 33 years of age. You say, Pastor, is that significant? Of course it's significant, because he's a picture of Christ. He is practically the same age as when the Lord Jesus was sacrificed for our sins. And verse 2 we read, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. Notice the similarities of God's son and Abraham's son in verse 2. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. Offer him there. The offering of Isaac is a picture, a perfect picture of the offering up of God's son in the New Testament. God commanded Abraham to do this, and Abraham's willingness to do this reveals the intimate relationship that Abraham has with God. And this is also shown by the name used for God in verse 1. It's interesting, the name, the Hebrew name there for God is Ha Elohim. Ha Elohim. Now, God's name, Elohim, is mentioned throughout the scriptures. But here, in connection to Abraham, God is referred to as Ha Elohim. And this name is used to show that a person can actually have a personal relationship with God. Elohim means God. Ha Elohim means more of my God, my God. Showing that he has a personal relationship with God. God told Abraham to take his only son down to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt sacrifice. That's the proposal. The proposal. Now, the second thing that I want you to see this morning is the proving. The proving. It's one thing to say you love God, but God tells us if you love him, you will keep his commandments. When God told Abraham to offer his only son, he provided, he proved his love by obeying God. Now, let's pick up the story in verse 3, and we're going to read through verse 12. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the asses, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they were both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the Lord, neither on the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And so God's proposal has been given to Abraham. And what does Abraham do with God's proposal? Verse 3 says, Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass. He wasted no time in carrying out what God requested. And he took these two other guys with him, along with his son Isaac. And the Bible says they packed up some firewood for the burnt offering, and they headed out to this place that God had told him about. And we read that on the third day of this trip, Abraham saw that place. And he told the young man, You stay here, I and my boy. We're going to worship and come back to you again. And Abraham took the wood that they'd been carrying, and he took that wood and he laid it on Isaac. And here we see another similarity between the sacrifice of Jesus and Isaac. Abraham took the wood and placed it upon Isaac. When the Lord Jesus died as a sacrifice for our sins, his cross was placed upon him. If you're familiar with the Gospels, you know that he carried the wood to Mount Calvary. Another picture of Christ seen in this episode with Abraham and Isaac. Now remember that Isaac was not a 12 or 13-year-old boy like some of the Sunday school literature portrays in their artwork. He was approximately 30 to 33 years old. And when they reached the place, God told Abraham to go, you know, to this land of Moriah, this hill in the land of Moriah. Isaac says to him, My father, and he says, Here am I, my son. He says, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And at that point in time, Abraham speaks. And he speaks presently, because God was going to provide a lamb. But he was also speaking prophetically, whether he knew it or not. Because Abraham told Isaac that God would provide a sacrifice. And he did provide a sacrifice that day. But prophetically speaking, he provided another sacrifice centuries later. You might remember when John the Baptist sees Jesus coming towards him for the first time. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist says, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And when it came time for the sacrifice, the Lamb was prepared. But look at here. When it came time for that sacrifice, what did Isaac do? Remember, he's 33 years of age. There's no way an old man like Abraham could force that young man to lie on that altar. But remember, during this time, they were familiar with human sacrifice, and perhaps Abraham explained to Isaac that he was a sacrifice, and maybe he even said something similar to what Jesus said, you know, about preferring that this cup pass from him, but nevertheless, thy will be done. But one thing is for sure, Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus, who could have easily overpowered those Roman soldiers, but he voluntarily laid his life down for our sins that day. And that's exactly what Isaac did. He voluntarily laid his life down that day. And that's what we see in this passage. And what's also interesting is that Abraham believed that if he slew his son, God would somehow raise him up from the dead. How do we know that? It's because when they reached the place where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. He told those two young men to stay behind, those two that he had brought with him, and he said unto them, "Abide ye here while with the ass, while I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." He didn't just say I, he said I and the lad. He believed that God would raise him. Abraham believed that once he offered up Isaac upon the altar of sacrifice, God would raise him to life again. And again, what a picture of the Lord Jesus who was offered. He too knew that he would be raised to life again. And so we see the proposal, we see the proving, and then we see the provision, verses 13 and 14. "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." God did provide a sacrifice that day. And again, what a picture of the life of Christ. When Abraham spoke of God providing a sacrifice, again, he was speaking present tense, because he knew God would provide a sacrifice then, but he was also speaking prophetically, looking forward to that great day when God would provide his only begotten Son as the ultimate sacrifice, as the Lamb without spot, without blemish, to die upon a cross for the sins of the world. And so we see the proposal, we see the proving, we see the provision, and then we see the promise. Look at verses 15 through 19. "And the angel of the Lord came, angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said unto him, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." Now, here, the similarities between Abraham's son and God's son cease to be a comparison. When you consider that Isaac was spared, but Jesus was not. But notice the phrase in verse 16, where God says, "Because thou hast done this thing." This thing. What thing is he talking about? Did Abraham offer up Isaac? No, he did not. But when he was put to the test, God knew that Abraham was willing to do it. Had God not intervened, Abraham would have plunged that knife into Isaac's chest. But thankfully, God did intervene. And that day, Abraham showed his faith, his love, his trust, his confidence, and his obedience to God. And God, as we have read here, promised to bless him and his family. And so we see the proposal, we see the proving, we see the provision, we see the promise, and then one last thing, we'll call it the perpetuation. That is, this blessing goes on. God was so pleased with Abraham's obedience that he promised to bless him and his seed. Look at verses 20 through 24. "And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz his firstborn, and Buz his brother." Who would name their kids Huz and Buz? I don't know. But Huz the firstborn, Buz the brother, Kemuel the father of Aram. And she said, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jidlaf and Bethuel, and Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Remuah. She bare also Teba and Gaham and Thahash and Maacah. And you see, this thing that God refers to, the thing that Abraham did, so pleased God that he promised to bless him and bless all of his family. And here's what I want you to take away from the sermon this morning. And it's this: God will bless a man or woman that truly loves him. A man or woman that loves him enough to put him first in their lives. That's what this lesson is all about. That's what Abraham did. Abraham loved God supremely. And that's what God is looking for in our lives. God does not make any allowance for putting anything or anyone ahead of him in our life. And so as we look at the test of Abraham's faith, we see the proposal, the proving, the promise, the provision, the perpetuation, and all of that looks forward to Jesus, who was the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the world. And all who will believe in that sacrifice, all who will believe in his death and believe in his resurrection, all who will put their faith and their trust in him as their Savior, as their substitutionary sacrifice for their sins, all of those people can have eternal life and forgiveness of sin. And that right there leads us right into the communion service, because the Lord's Supper is also a picture of a sacrifice. It's a picture of Christ and the sacrifice that he made for our sins through the shedding of his blood and through his death on the cross. And this morning, what I would like you to